Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining me for Becoming Who I Am. I am your host, Diane Rosina Jones, and I am blessed to be with you on this morning. Make no doubt about it. I understand how grateful, how wonderful, how absolutely amazing, how, you know, I'm just in a place this morning, not just this morning, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be with you. I'm grateful that you joined me. I am thankful for all of you who have constantly been a part of the Becoming Who I Am journey over these last few years, and even my journey, because you know it's been personal. You know that what we do and what we have done, and really in regards to this show, is really about walking out our own journey and sharing it with you each and every week to help you in some way with your journey. So hopefully something that has been said along the way has encouraged you, inspired you, empowered you, lifted you up, giving you the extra strength that you need in order to become who it is that God created you to be. So what I want to do is, I know the chat room is open, so please feel free to go ahead and join me in the chat room. For those of you who my regulars who call and just listen to the show, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. If you'd like to call into the show, you certainly can, 760-695-5620. If you have a question, comment, suggestion, or just want to chat in regards to the topic, you certainly can later on in the show. Put yourself in the queue, and I'll be sure to pick up. I've got so much to cover today, I don't even know where to begin. Most of you know that I'm not really the type of person, if you've been listening to this show, you know that we really rarely kind of go into current events and news unless it in some way impacts the lesson or the topic of discussion for that day. So, but just to just start chatting about the news, we don't normally do that. However, what I want to do is, I do at this moment, I want to ask everyone, in particular parents, to say a prayer for Bobby Christina. I won't even go any further into what happened, because I'm going to tell you the truth. Based upon the different reports from the different sources, we really don't know what happened. Not only do we not know what happened, we don't know what state she's in even at this moment, because there are different reports in regards. So all we can do is say a prayer. Say a prayer, because only imagine what it is like to be walking in her shoes after what she has experienced with the loss of her mother in such a public way, and the scrutiny and everything else. So whatever your personal opinion may be in regard to the way that she has chosen to live her life, other decisions that she has made, set those aside at this moment and just say a prayer for her health, for her physical health, her mental, emotional, psychological health, and for her spiritual health. Okay? So, and we'll just leave it at that, because certainly that baby needs a prayer. And she's still just a baby. If I'm not mistaken, she's only 21. It doesn't matter that she's married. She's a baby. It doesn't matter, you know, the type of life that she lived and who her parents were. And, you know, the truth is, because of the life that she previously has lived and her parents, and that's why she's a baby. And I'm not saying that in a negative way, but she's probably had to deal with a level of, you know, the way that she's had to live her life since her mother passed, and not being protected and guarded, because, you know, Whitney used to guard her daughter fiercely when she was alive. For the first time, she truly is on her own, and I can't even imagine. Yes, I can, but I won't discuss that because I think there are some of us who lost our parents when we were really young. We can't imagine. Matter of fact, I'll take that to segue into some announcements, and we'll get into the show. Going from that into the fact that I am very excited that, first of all, you've got to join me next Sunday. Next Sunday. Today we're going to finish up the fourth week that we've talked about intuition. And I'm going to tell you that I do follow my intuition, and I don't apologize for it. I understand that when I've really tapped into what God is saying, that there are no mistakes. So I'm going to wrap up the 4 weeks that we've been spending on intuition today with today's show. And the workshop that I was going to facilitate at the end of this month for 10 people, I'm going to postpone, and I will just leave it at that. Okay? Intuitively, that's what God spoke into my spirit, that is, you know, we're not ready for that yet. So I'm going to postpone that. Okay? There's a place that each and every participant needs to get to on their own before someone else can facilitate you into that space. So I'm going to postpone the in-person workshops. I'm going to finish this segment today so you'll be able to go back and listen to the four-week segment on intuition and tapping into your intuition, which is a great foundation on how to get that done. But there will be no in-person workshop the end of this month, not yet, okay? However, next week, I want you to join me. It's going to be an absolutely amazing show. As my special guest, I will have Dr. Chef Gabriel Hernandez on the show, and also Alicia Kerr will be on the show. I'm sorry, I think her last name is Kerr or Kier. I may be pronouncing it incorrectly. But these two people have been instrumental in just me walking in a new level of healing in my body with food. So the Chef Hernandez is a vegan chef, and they have a vegan delivery service. And you just got to hear this story. You just got to, you know, I'm just going to bring them on the show next week. And, wow, let them just share with you what they're doing, how they're doing it, and why they're doing it. And you can take it from there. It's going to be a great show. So join me next Sunday when I'll have them both on the show. And the Sunday after that, which is going to be February 15th, that Sunday, we are going to start, get ready for it, the Tragic Treasures Workshop. So we're going to begin our treasure hunt, discovering spoils of war in the midst of tragedy. And once we begin that workshop, for those of you who've read the book, then you'll understand why I actually have so much compassion and sympathy for the place that Bobby Christina is in right now at this moment, because I've been there, done that, been there. And I remember what it was like when I was 18 years old when my mother passed. I know there are many of you who can also relate, so pray for that baby. But February 15th, yes, if you don't have your copy of Tragic Treasures, Discovering Spoils of War in the Midst of Tragedy, you need to go to my website, Royal Treasures Publishing, and order your copy now, autograph copy, or you need to go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, wherever you need to go, and order your print copy. You certainly can do that, or download it to your Kindle, Nook, iPad, iPhone, baby, get your copy and get at least get chapter one read by February 15th. You will find that this book, which was my first book, and actually I wrote this book in September 2010, you will find it's a very easy read in regards to the chapters are not long. However, it is a journey, and I have not talked to anyone who has not read the book that didn't tell me that they cried, they laughed, you know, you're going to go through a full range of emotions. With this workshop, I'm going to break down each and every single chapter. You certainly, it's a private thing. So what I'm going to do starting February 15th, Sunday, February 15th, I am going to each and every week on the show break down the chapter, help you to facilitate and do your own treasure hunt. You don't have to call in. You don't have to tell anybody you're doing it. You can do it in the privacy of your own home. You can do it secretly, because really this book and this journey, this is something that a lot of people, they have to do it, you know, you really can't even tell anybody about what you're doing in regard to this until after it's done. I understood that when I wrote the book. I understood that the level of transparency that I was going to, that many people would not be able to reach that level of transparency with others. But I knew the book would touch them in a profound way until it would shift and help people to transform and find those treasures in the midst of tragedy. So get ready. This is going to be wonderful. It is absolutely going to be life-changing. So you have 2 weeks, basically, to get Tragic Treasures and read chapter one. Be ready for us to just go through chapter one on the 15th. All right? And I'm going to jump into it as if you've read it. So I'm not going to be on the air reading the book. We're going to be discussing each and every chapter, and I will give you a little sneak peek. Chapter 1 in Tragic Treasures, Discovering the Spoils of War in the Midst of Tragedy. And now all you have to do actually is when you go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, all you have to do is put in my name, Diane Rosina Jones, and both my books will come up. If you want to search by book, just put in the title of the book, not the subtitle. You can just put in Tragic Treasures, and that will bring up the book as well. Okay? So, and the first chapter we're going to do is called Purpose in Pain. So when you get the book, go ahead and read the introduction, which is only a couple of pages, and get chapter one read, the first chapter, which is called Purpose in Pain. Purpose in Pain, and once again, this book is really, these chapters are really short, okay? So it's not a long, difficult read. I'll be honest, it's an emotional read. It really is. I'm not going to tell it any other way. It's a short read. It's not a hard read. It's not a long book, but it's very emotional. And you know, it serves its purpose. It's not a book that's going to leave you broken down, upset, or sad, or depressed. What it's going to do is it certainly will touch some areas in your life. It may touch areas of unresolved pain, but by time we finish this workshop, by time we finish this book, oh, those areas will be well on their way to healing. You'll be well on your way to finding the treasures. You'll be well on your way to finding the spoils of war in the midst of tragedy. So I'm excited about that. So definitely join me next week once again for a discussion with Dr. Chef Gabriel Hernandez and Alicia, and they have a vegan food delivery service, the most awesome. Their whole goal is to heal bodies through food, to use food as to heal the body. And that's going to be a wonderful conversation. And then the week after that, we're going into Tragic Treasures. Okay? So now, in regards to just wrapping up the past 3 weeks, I'm not going to rediscuss the past 3 weeks. I will say that you can certainly go to Becoming Who I Am. Go to the website at any time. You can download the last 3 shows and the shows that deal with intuition that we've been talking about for the last 4 weeks. The first show is Stop Ignoring the Still Small Voice. The second show is The Source of Your Brilliance. The third show is called It's All About Conscious Activation. And today will be the fourth and final show in this, what turned out to be a little series in regards to intuition. What I want to end today with, and I know I'm not going to have a lot of time and may not get to cover everything, is that when intuition comes, it comes in many forms. So meaning it is communicated to us in different ways. So everyone, I know I talk a lot about the still small voice, the inner voice that we need to listen to, but also intuition can be communicated to us through our dreams, through our emotions, and through physical sensation. So there's 4 ways that intuition can be communicated to us. And that is, of course, the inner voice, so to speak. The inner voice meaning a still, quiet inner voice that you hear. And we already agreed to the fact that we know that our intuitive being, when we're being communicated with through intuition, is always in a loving manner, is always compassionate, and it's always, always, if it's not love, if it's not compassion, if it's fear, anger, anxiety, bitterness, anything like that, that's the ego, that's not intuition. That's not your authentic self, which is connected to God consciousness. So another way also is dreams. I read a book before where the person said that what they used to do in order to ask God to speak to them through their dreams is that prior to sleeping each night, they would pray, you know, they would say a prayer that would open themselves up to through their dreams. They kept a journal by their bed as well. For a season, I did that, but it was a very short-lived season. Dreams are really not a way for me in regards to intuition. However, dreams are one of the modes of communication. So I definitely wanted to mention that because you may find that that's the way that spirit connects or communicates with you. So if that is the way, if you're one of the people who you've had dreams before, and your dreams have actually come to pass, or your dreams follow. You've had a dream and then seen something happen in regards to that lined up with the dream that you had, then you know that that's one of the modes in which your intuition speaks with you. So then you may want to, at night, make sure that you open yourself, pray, and open yourself up to hearing from God through your dreams. Keep a journal. If you are that person as well, you certainly want to. I did earlier shows about the importance of when we sleep, how we don't sleep with noise. So that means music with certain words. That means television. Don't leave your television on because your subconscious mind is always awake. So what that means is that if you understand now that your subconscious mind is always awake, your intuitive being can communicate even through dreams, that if you're the person who leaves the TV on, HBO or CNN, God forbid, CNN, all night long, then what you actually subjected your subconscious mind to is a, you know, whatever's going on in the nation all night long, that's what your subconscious mind has been listening to. So there's no telling what type of dreams you have. I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I've told many of you numerous times that my subconscious mind is very, very aware. to the point where I definitely cannot sleep with the TV on all night long. I have to be very careful about what channels I forget and leave the TV on. The other night, I'm telling you, I did have a dream that I got caught up. I was like in the middle of some type of gun battle. I was someplace where I wasn't supposed to be, and I was grabbed by Suge Knight, and he held me like, you know how you hold somebody in front of you where if you're going to get shot, you're using them as a human shield. When I woke up, I thought, okay, first of all, what's up with the gun battle, and what is up with the fact that Suge Knight has snatched me up and was using me as a human shield? Well, of course, you know, I'd left the TV on the news channel, and it was the morning after the news reports came out that Suge Knight had turned himself in and he was going to be charged with murder because he hit someone with his car. So obviously I had also must have heard some other news story or some movie about a gun battle, and then all of that was all in my dream. So know your subconscious mind does not sleep. So guard that. So know that intuition can speak through your dreams, through inner voice, through your emotions. Your emotions, this is what's going on when intuition speaks through your emotions. You will find that you feel some type of way. You know, I'm putting it in terms that we can understand. When intuition speaks through my emotions, what I get is this: when I am contacting or in contact with someone that I may not necessarily should deal with for whatever reason, not saying that something's wrong with a person, but I'm saying that if I'm not where I'm supposed to be or dealing with who I'm supposed to be dealing with, I may actually have some type of emotional reaction to the people that I'm dealing with for no reason at all. Have you ever met someone and just something inside of you was like, you know, I'm just going to leave it there. I'm not going to try to describe what the emotion is that you felt. Most of the times we don't even have a sense of it's hard for us to describe even what it is that we feel at that time, what the emotion is. We just know that it's some type of negative reaction. You see, internally it's a negative emotion. And so pay attention to those. We pay attention to that. And certainly if you have a physical sensation, because some people get a knot in the pit of their stomach. Have you ever had that knot in the pit of your stomach? You cannot ignore. See, we ignore stuff like that. Some people, you know, they get a knot in the pit of their stomach. They get the chills running, you know how we say we got chills running down our spine? We'd be saying all kinds of stuff, but you know what I'm referring to. We have a physical reaction or a physical sensation in your body in regards to interacting with other people or decisions that you have to make. You know, have you ever had to make a decision and you, not only did you get a chill, but or you had a sudden pain somewhere, you know, right at that very moment? Or you got hot, you got cold. There are different physical sensations that you can have that you should pay attention to. Especially, you should pay attention to these things when you're in a place where decisions have to be made and maybe you don't have the answer to the decision as of yet. And your intuitive side, your intuitive being, your is trying to get your attention so you can pay, you know, listen to your authentic voice, okay? So the more intuitive encounters we experience, the more awareness and understanding we have, you know, it expands. We become capable of hearing and seeing God's guidance in all things. When we use our intuition on a regular basis, we kind of begin to develop an instant knowing, which is sometimes called a sixth sense. And it's, we're not talking about the movie where you see dead people. We're not talking about being a psychic, because a lot of times when people, there's been a misunderstanding in regards to what intuition is and sixth sense because of television, and because of people who are psychics trying to abuse and use the so-called gift to make money off of others, and us not understanding that this is an innate thing. This is something that we all have, not just Cleo. Cleo is the only one that can see your future. Remember, Sister Cleo? Was it Sister Cleo? Somebody, Cleo. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking some coffee right now, so that's why I'm pausing. Cleo's not the only one that can see your future. Actually, you can see your own future. And when you tap into your intuitive side and connect with God consciousness, your own future begins to unfold before you. I'm not going to say that you'll be able to see 10, 15 years down the road. I had a conversation with my son in regards to that. When I was younger, because I'm that list person. I'm the person that has to have a list and the planning and writing everything out and this and that and all visions and purpose and, you know, all that kind of mission statements and business plans and strategic plans, all of that. However, as I began to tap in more to my intuitive side within the last decade, my lists have gotten shorter and shorter, and the time frame that I go out is shorter and shorter. I do not have a 10-year plan. No, I don't. I do not have a 5-year plan. What I have now, I will tell you, I do plan out for at least a year. So, you know, I know what the goals that I have set for this year. But I have not put myself in such a strict box until I don't have any room for God to speak through my intuition and guide my life in accordance with who it is that I am to become, in accordance with the manifestation of who I am. Really, that's what we're talking about. So I do about a year out, and then I open myself to God's intuitive guidance, you see, through my authentic self, through that inner voice, to tell me what to do, how to do, when to do, based upon the plans that I've made. Now, if I make plans, and I begin to try and work those things, that plan out, because, of course, we have to do the work. If I make a plan and I begin to try and work it out and it don't work, then I go back to the drawing board. And I've learned to go back to the drawing board very quickly and tap into intuition, tap into God, tap into spirit, and see, is this something I'm supposed to be doing? And if it's not something that I'm supposed to be doing, I will very quickly kick it to the curb. I will drop it. I will let it go. I will change it. I am not that person anymore that will struggle against spirit to try and accomplish something I said I want to do just for the sake that I already said I was going to do it, so I'm not going to let it go. No. Whether it's a book that I'm going to write, I've changed books that I've going to write at the last minute. My second book, Dancing with the Universe, was not the book that I had intended to write. There was another book that I intended to write. You know, when I was writing my first book, I already knew what the second one was going to be. I was telling people the title of the book. I had the premise of the book. I started writing on the book, and the spirit said, "You're not writing that." And I was like, "Okay, it's out of here." You know, I've just gotten too old. I don't have 10, 15 years to try and live my life against what spirit is saying any longer. So as we mature, as we begin to trust our sixth sense, as we begin to understand that it's innate, that we all have the ability to tune into our authentic self, and that it helps us to reach, actually is mind-boggling accuracy in our lives when we tap into it. When we know that, we don't spend a lot of time just doing stuff that don't work no more. You know, that's the bottom line. Tapping into your intuition, connecting with your God consciousness, ensures, it does not ensure that you won't have a life of struggle and pain. So let's get that straight. I'm not saying that you will not experience any struggle. You will not have any pain. You will not fail. You won't have any losses. No, you'll still have those. But I am saying that you will not spend as much time going against everything within you in regards to who it is that you are, what you should be doing, what direction you should be going, who God created you to be. You just don't spend a whole bunch of time going the wrong direction anymore. It doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes and fail, but it means that we learn very quickly. Oh, yeah. I might fail once in an area. You know, if I still ain't got it, I might fail twice. But it ain't going to be no more than that, because what's going to happen is the next time I'm not going to make a move unless I clearly understand and hear God, or I'm just going to let that go and I'm going to shift to what God is doing. See, because what happens is that if I start to work with my intuition and connect with that and trust that and believe that, and two doors appear before me, and I try and go through door A, I'm not going to spend all my time there trying to beat down the door A, blasting cap, dynamite. If that door doesn't open, I'm going to stop and go to door B, okay? But some of us spend all our lives at door A, chiseling away. Okay. So then know that when we actually understand that this intuitive thing, it's really helping us to know what our truth is and help us to tune into our authentic selves and help us to cultivate the listening and become to trust it and rely on it when making decisions. So then it doesn't prevent us. So then what happens is this: when I get sure about the fact that I know that God speaks to me, you see, when I trust and I believe, when I have that faith, even if I make a mistake, that does not stop me from trusting, believing, having faith again. Fear does not prevent me from tapping into my intuition. Fear of making a mistake doesn't. Fear of, you know, making the wrong decision doesn't. Because intuition begins, it reinforces us that no matter what, if I keep connecting to it, if I keep tapping into it, that eventually, you know, my mistakes, my failures, the colossal mistakes are less and less. The colossal failures are less and less. The lessons I pick up quicker. I know how to shift faster. I know how to let go faster. I know how to surrender and release faster. I know how to switch directions with ease faster when I understand, I trust, and believe in the intuition. Okay. Now, the deal is this, that really when we ignore our intuition, when we disregard it, it really is the cause root of most depression, distraction, addictions, disease, and discontent. You know, it's like a perpetual stress and internal chaos from ignoring your intuition. It even can result in physical illnesses and certainly psychological harm. Because constantly disregarding and ignoring your intuition, you know, it's going to lead to internal chaos, which eventually will manifest itself in our lives. I know you've met people like that. Have you met people where there's always drama, there's always chaos, that chaos and drama seem to follow them? Every situation, always chaos and drama, always chaos and drama. If you met anyone like that, then know that that's because it's internal chaos. And then that internal chaos is what begins to manifest when we don't listen to our intuitive side. So not acting on our intuitive guidance and living our true purpose is the reason for much of our anger and our frustration and, you know, our fear of not acting and being afraid of hearing and listening, it limits our lives and it stunts our growth, period. I'm on that coffee. I'm sorry. So we know we have to train ourselves, train our minds to listen. We know ways that we do that is we have to learn how to relax, slow down, breathe, and just allow ourselves time to listen so we can understand what it is that we've heard. Intuition, even if you've ignored your intuition all your life, know that it's not gone. Denying it does not destroy it. It's an innate gift, so at any time you can activate that which is within you, your intuitive being. At any time you can connect to it. At any age you connect to it. It really doesn't matter how long it's been that you have ignored or maybe not listened to it. You can always connect. And the more you do, the more it diminishes that internal conflict that we're talking about. And the more that you do, you'll realize that you see less and less chaos and less drama and less confusion and less anger and frustration and bitterness as you begin to just listen and act. Just on little small things, you see, listen and act, then you'll have the confidence to listen and act on the larger things. And this confidence will increase your peace, reduce your fears, and over time, it will help you have this unwavering sense of profound integrity, creative inspiration, and grounded soul purpose. And that's what one of the authors said of a book I read called Tuned In. And that's true, that after a while, the more that you listen to your intuition and you act on it, and you find that maybe it used to take you 3, 4, 5 years to release people from your life that weren't good for you. Now it only takes you a year. Now it only takes you 9 months. Now it only takes you 6 months. As you see that and you become more confident in what it is that you're hearing in your intuition, then you become more confident in, you know, the integrity of your life, knowing that you are becoming who it is, or you're manifesting that which is within you. I'm telling you, it's a running joke with my girlfriends now that I have gotten, when it comes down to, you know, the single life and dating, that I've gotten down to, my intuition has got me down to about a 90-day period. I know who I'm dealing with in 90 days. It used to be that it would take me a while to know who I'm dealing with. It might take me a year, 2, 3. And not only worse, let me tell the truth. It's not so much that it used to take me three years to know who I'm dealing with. It would take me 3 years to trust what it is that intuition had revealed to me in regards to the person. See? So it would take years, and this is what's going on with many of us. Intuition has been revealing to you who you are dealing with, male and female, who you're dealing with on the job, who you're dealing with in business, who you're dealing with in every situation, in your church, who you're dealing with in your community. However, you have refused to listen to your intuitive side and have worked against your intuitive side and continue to try and build those relationships with those people to your own detriment. So then it takes us the 3, 4, 5 years. It takes us, you see, until the disaster occurs, the tragedy hits. It takes us until the pain becomes unbearable and the heart is broken before we are capable of surrendering to and releasing those that intuition told you from the jump. She's not the one. He's not the one. this is not the job for you. You see? That's the truth. Hear the truth. Hear the truth. Hear the truth. Okay. So for many of us, it's not that we have never heard our intuition and that our intuition is not speaking. Once again, remember, I already said that God always speaks. So for many of us, that is not the case. For most of us, we have ignored what we've heard over and over again. We have ignored God. We have ignored our intuitive side. We have ignored. Well, I'm down to about, I can only take about 90 days of ignoring. So I've gotten it down to the fact where, you know, after that, I can't ignore anymore. So the laughing, the joke would be that I would actually just say, okay, let's just give this 90 days and see. And then we'll kind of just check in with each other after the 90 days. You know how that's probationary period on your job? That's what I'm kind of talking about. You kind of do that probationary period because that gives you time to kind of tap into intuition and allow God consciousness to either connect and hear what God is saying in regards to the situation you're in, the relationship you develop, the job that you're trying to take, things of that. Now, I have examples of many things where I did not listen to my intuition, and I have examples of where I did. I have an example where I took a job that I knew I was highly overqualified. Matter of fact, the person that was in charge, I had more qualifications than that person. However, I took the position out of fear, and spirit made sure that I was fired within 90 days. I had the audacity to be outraged over the fact that they would even consider letting me go, considering the fact that I had more credentials than everybody in there. But see, you know, I was wrong for even being there. Intuition had already told me that wasn't the place for me to be, but I did it out of fear. And then there were other situations where I was offered a position with a company that, you know, that had this name, and everyone was like, take the job just to get in the door, just to get your foot in the job, you know, the door. Don't worry about what position it is, none of that. Just take it. And spirit said, do not take that job. And honey, I did not take that job. Now, I had to leave because, I was contractual at the time. And if I didn't take the permanent position, I had to leave. I didn't know where I was going, but God opened the door that led to where I was supposed to be. But if I had not listened to intuition, I would have taken that position, listening to everyone else. And I'll just say, it would have been, my life would have been a lot different if I'd taken that, and not in a good way. So, intuition. So know that responding to your intuitive guidance, it does require a level of surrender that a lot of times that we find hard to achieve, especially since it requires changing, expanding, and a lot of times it's going to require us to let go of something or someone or an idea or a belief or a concept or let go of an illusion. You know, a lot of times, let's just tell the truth, the fact that a lot of times our intuition is guiding us to a certain area which requires us to surrender. And really, what we're holding on to is an illusion anyway. What we're holding on to is not even the truth. You know, the difference between an illusion and a dream, and spirit is giving this to me right now. I've never even given this thought. A lot of times people are like, well, okay, I'm holding on to a dream. No. A lot of times what we won't let go of is an illusion, not a dream. A dream which is birthed out of us. Because now remember, everything that we need to be who it is we were created to be, so and become that which is within already. Everything we need, we already have in us. And it's up to us to consciously activate that power within us to become. Okay, I'll let that sink for a moment. So since everything I need is within me, you see, when it comes to a dream and I consciously activate and connect to my intuitive being, my authentic voice, which is connected to the God consciousness, when it's a dream, it comes to pass, it is walked out, it manifests. A lot of the illusions that we have are illusions because they're based on external things outside of us. Oh, come on now. A lot of the illusions, here we go. Let me say it again. Are illusions because they are based on external circumstances. So here we go. I'm going to break it down because Spirit is giving me an example. Dream is, I want to be a business owner. I tap into my intuition, which is my authentic self connected to God consciousness, which gives me the creative ideas that I need to create my business and work that out. Connect me with people I need to be connected with, help me to get the education or knowledge that I need to get, if that's the case, in order to do what it is that I need to do. Illusion. I'm going to hit the lottery and then I'll open my business. Illusion. You know, I met this guy and right now he's married to somebody else, but God said he's my husband. Illusion. You know, Oprah is going to call me and I'm going to be on her show next week. And after I'm on her show, then I'm going to sell multi-million copies of my book and I'll be a number one bestseller. See, those illusions. A lot of us aren't willing to even give up our illusions. And that's why we aren't, you see. So we have to be willing to surrender the illusion, or willing to change, expand, and let go. And understand that when it comes to the dream, baby, it's within. So know that your intuitiveness, your intuitive being that taps into God consciousness will be all about positioning you, putting you in the right place, preparing you, teaching you how to tap into that which is within and manifest that which is within, so that it's manifested in the world. So then you are the individualized expression of God in this world. So then you work on that. However, if you are spending all your time dreaming of how someone external to yourself, how they're going to make a move or do something, or they're going to shift, or they are going to change, or they are going to transform, and when they change, transform, shift, or make a move or expand, that is going to make you who it is that God created you to be, that's an illusion. And the illusion needs to be surrendered and let go in order for us to be who it is that we were created to be, in order for us to be able to walk in our intuitive being. This is so crucial, so critical. So now, if you ever have, I will go out on a limb and say this. Know, first of all, the intuition is not the opposite of logic. That really is like a cycle. It's a comprehensive way of knowing that life includes both your left brain, analytical thinking, and your right brain. Okay, that is a communion of the two. So know this. So I'm not saying that you have to throw away logic in any way. I am saying this. That know that when it comes to any problem, when it comes to any solution, when it comes to any dream, when it comes to any circumstance, when it comes to any idea, when it comes to anything in your life, intuitively, Spirit will always speak to you in regards to you, first and foremost. Some of us have been taught this in regards to praying. We learn now that it does us no good to pray about other people. Now, I'm not saying we can pray for other people. Here's the difference. You can pray for someone else. You can't pray about someone else. So I can pray for Bobby Christina that Spirit would lift her up, that God would heal her, protect her, keep her in her right mind, heal her heart, surround her with people who are going to be loving and supportive and help her to become, despite all that she's been through. So you can pray for some person, but you can't pray about them. See, now praying about means we pray and ask Spirit to change other folk, to change them, because changing them will make us who it is we are supposed to be. So we want them to shift and become and change and expand. See, here we go. So we want someone external to us to be or become in order for us to be and become. That's the illusion. It's always going to be internal. It's always going to be you. The solution is always going to begin with you. Even if God in the universe brings others into your life in order to assist you in regards to an area, it's still always about who it is that you are becoming in that very moment in order to even accept that assistance. So know that it's always, always an internal thing. Dreams, internal. Illusions, external. So intuition. Oh, you'll find that a Spirit will always be speaking to you in regards to who you must become in that very moment in order for the solution to work, in order for eradication to come, in order for change and transformation to come, in order for something to manifest, in order for not who somebody else must become. Spirit is not going to tell you who the kids got to become, who the husband or wife got to become, who your boss needs to become, who your coworkers need to become, who your boyfriend, girlfriend need to become. Spirit and intuition is going to always tap into who you must become in order to manifest and materialize and shift and expand and transform and change and surrender and let go. And then in our becoming and surrendering, let go and manifesting change and transform and expanding, you follow me? That shifts the people around us. And I've said this numerous times on many different shows, that's how you shift others. You don't shift others by praying about them, by having this illusion that when they become, you'll become, that you're waiting on them to make the first move and all this kind of stuff. You waiting on God. Like we already talked about that, you're not waiting on God. God has already done all that he's going to do in regards to your life. Everything that he created you to be is already within you. Every gift, everything, every talent, everything that you need, you already have within you. You have to consciously activate that abundance in your life. You have to consciously activate. Oh, yeah. You got to consciously activate it. God is not somewhere setting up in heaven for those of you who, you know, have a concept of a God up in heaven over the cloud somewhere. God is not somewhere setting up in heaven still creating you. Boo, you were created already. He ain't still putting stuff in your spirit. You know what? I know I'm going to mess up some folk, and it's the end of the show, but I'm just going to have to tell you this. The stuff that we used to say in church is crazy. God placed it in my spirit. No, boo, you consciously activated and tapped into that which was already there. He ain't still placing stuff in your spirit. It's already in you. This journey is about you consciously activating that in which is already within you. So when you consciously activate that and become and manifest and materialize, that shifts the people around you. As we've said in many shows before, either they must shift and become or they shift and go. And you must be willing to let anyone go who would prefer to leave as opposed to expand or shift or transform or change, period. You can't control the change, the transformation, or the shifting or surrendering of no one else except yourself. And you have to be willing to let others go who refuse to do that. Once you shift, if they don't want to shift, if they can't shift, if they refuse to shift, then you must be open to a release in them. I'm not saying you got to kick folk out of your life. This is what I found. When I shifted, I became open to releasing everyone who had a problem with who I was becoming. I didn't say, oh, you got to go. I just was open to releasing them. And those who decided that they want to leave, I had someone come. You know, we talked about it. He came to me. We had been together 3.5 years. He said, I think that when our lease is up, I want to go my own way. I'm going to tell you the truth. I spent maybe about a month trying to talk him out of it. Here we go. See, that's the illusion part. After that, I released and opened myself to the concept that he would be leaving out of my life as I began to shift. He left, I shifted, and everything else is history. I have no ill will towards him. You see, because now I understand all I can do is surrender. I can expand. I can transform. And all I can do is open myself to releasing those who are not comfortable with being with me after I've done so. So as we just kind of wrap this up, know that as you begin to listen to your intuitive side and tap into your authentic self and connect with your God consciousness that'll lead you to places you never dreamed of. You'll discover abilities you never knew you had. It's priceless in just the knowing and becoming and starting to create from your soul. Intuition, actually, the guidance itself is priceless, it's powerful, it's an innate process. It will help you to align yourself in such a way that you really will truly be living the life of your dreams. You really can be a success and have satisfaction in every realm of your life, whether it's physical, psychological, or spiritual. Now, I'm not saying a perfect life. No, we're not saying that. I'm saying that there is joy, peace, bliss, and abundance to be found in a level of walking in the intuitive, that you find yourself content wherever you might be. But see, you find yourself content where you are because once consciously activated, you know that wherever you are today, that means after becoming more of that which you were created to be. You see? So that's the type of conscious awareness that creates bliss, content, happiness, joy, and peace. And, you know, I don't know about you, but the moment I surrendered, the moment I was willing everything in order to become, that was the moment that I really walked into abundance of peace, joy, happiness, love, and bliss. So I challenge you, tap into your intuitive being, release everything that is not of, everything that goes against what your spirit is saying, and live the life of your dream. Because it's already within you. It's within you waiting for your conscious activation. I love you. Can't wait until next week. See you back here again. It's going to be a wonderful show. I haven't even given it justice. So it's going to be a powerful show for everyone. You have to be a vegan in order to get the benefit of this show. So next week, beloved, have a great day.